morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist. Greystone is a place where all people are welcome, where all can find a place to belong, to come, and to receive the good news of the gospel, which is that we are each and every one God's beloved children. Greystone is also a place where ordinary people, people who are broken, people who are whole, people who are in need of Christ, people who are searching for grace and mercy and love and acceptance, gather together, and somehow in God's own mystery, we have woven together with the Holy Spirit a beautiful tapestry that looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God than anything we could have made on our own. Greystone is a community where we share the journeys of life and faith together. And even though we cannot gather here in our sanctuary together, we certainly do our best at gathering together online from our homes and from our personal spaces. We gather and worship. We read scripture, we pray, we sing, and we share our sacred meal of communion together, even though we gather online. And so today, no matter who you are, where you come from, or where you find yourself on this very day, we are so glad that you've chosen to worship with us. If you're a guest or a first-time visitor with us, we ask that you reach out to us via email or fill out one of the forms that we've got available online to tell us a little bit more about yourself. We want to know who you are. We want to know what God is stirring up in your life, and we want to know how we can partner and walk that journey alongside you. We're glad you're here. Today in worship, we remember that we have a family who's welcomed a new baby into their life. The Spruill family welcomed a baby boy earlier this week, and so we celebrate with them, and we hang the cradle cross from the pulpit to remind ourselves that a new life has come into our midst, a life that Scripture reminds us God knew even before He drew His first breath. And so we give thanks for this new baby, and we ask that God provide comfort and protection around this new family as they learn one another and they learn this new human being who's come into their midst. And we also remember that as a community that truly is woven together, a community that commits to share life together, we are also committing to the Spruill family, to this new baby, and to his sisters and brothers who have come before, to raise them in the faith as best we can, to teach them all that we've learned about God and God's love for us, and God's commandment that we love one another just as we love ourselves. Because we are all, each and every one, beloved children of God. Welcome to worship this morning. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into this space, come into our homes, come into our lives, and blow open the doors of everything that we thought we knew. Come into our lives and envelop us with your love and your spirit of creativity that is always making all things new, whether or not your people are ready. God, we give you thanks for this new life that was born into our community this week. And we ask your special blessings upon this family as they endeavor to welcome a new baby, sleepless nights, and long days. But God, in all of those things, we give you thanks because you are making all things new. You are bringing new life into our midst, and that is truly a miracle. God, we ask that you show us how to be good stewards of all these gifts that you've given us, that you call us to share them humbly with all of those with whom we come into contact. Teach us to show your love, and remind us of your greatest commandment, to love you with all that we have and all that we are, and to love our neighbors just as we love ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes, open our ears, renew us with your love, with your mercy, and with your grace. Amen.
Your My teeth. It's raining a little bit out here, but it feels really good after all these hot days we've had. I'm so glad to see you back at Compassion Camp. What are some things that you do to take care of yourself? You know, I told you I just got back from brushing my teeth. That's one of the ways that I take care of myself. Do you take care of yourself that way? Do you brush your teeth every morning and floss like you're supposed to? What happens if we don't do these things? If we don't take care of ourselves? Well, if we don't brush our teeth and take care of ourselves, then our teeth might fall out. They might get icky. We might get a cavity. There are all kinds of things that can happen, right? What are some other things that we do to take care of ourselves? Do you exercise? Ride your bike and go and run and play? Do you read books that help keep your mind sharp and your imagination alive? Do you listen to music that makes your heart happy? There are so many things that we can do to take care of ourselves. I know when I'm out here camping, two of the things I do to take care of myself is put on my sunscreen and my bug spray. Really important for taking care of myself. You know, at church, we talk a lot about taking care of others and loving others. But one thing that's really important is to love ourselves. Because when we love ourselves, then we're better able to love other people. Some of my friends, the Burtons, they're having Compassion Camp at their house too. They have a song they want to sing for you today about just that, about loving ourselves so that we can love other people. Before they sing, I want you to hear these words. These are the words of the song that they're going to sing. It goes like this. It says, I have love to share with the whole wide world, and I start by loving myself. When I take good care of my heart and soul, I have love for everyone else. I love me so I can love you. God loves me so I can love you. Let's hear them sing.
I love to share with the whole wide world, and I start with loving myself. And I take good care of my heart and soul,
Burtons, thank you for joining us at Compassion Camp, and thank you for sharing your talents with us. As we listen to our story today, we're going to hear some of the most famous words that Jesus ever said. Instead of giving a long list of commandments or rules to follow, Jesus gave only two. But to best follow these two famous rules and commandments, first, we have to begin by knowing how to love ourselves. We have to know how wonderful and loving and important we are. As we prepare to have compassion for ourselves, let's begin by having our compassion prayer together. Remember, we're going to put our hand on our head and our hand on our heart, because compassion is in our head and in our hearts. Let's pray together. Thank you for your gentle spirit within us, who guides us, encourages, and strengthens us. Help us see ourselves through your eyes, with love, kindness, and deep joy. May we love our bodies, treasure our hearts, and celebrate our spirits. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Let's listen to our Bible stories and worship together.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that, answered them well. He asked him, "Which commandment is all the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is here, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is one another commandment greater than this?" The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. It has cleared up, the rain has stopped, and it is good to be with you this morning. I have moved from my tent to our outdoor worship space here at church because, you know, Compassion Camp can happen anywhere. We're in week 3 of Compassion Camp. Thank you for joining us on this journey to explore how we can show and share compassion. When we first began looking at Compassion Camp, we were really only looking at it for the children. But it quickly became obvious that the lessons taught and learned transcended age. Compassion is something that we could all use more of. And if we're honest, we could all do a little better at showing and sharing compassion as well. I've appreciated the reminders the last couple of weeks, and I've heard old familiar stories in new ways. Over the last 2 weeks, we've taken a journey through Scripture led by compassion. First, we defined compassion as seeing others hurt, feeling others hurt, and doing what we can to ease that hurt. We've talked about seeing others and welcoming them to God's table and our own, regardless of any perceived misgivings. Compassion is offering forgiveness and welcome to all. Our children made centerpieces for their family tables and a treat to eat and share with their families so that they could practice the welcoming nature of compassion. We ask you to think about who you might invite to your table, or whom you might need to offer forgiveness and welcome. Last week, we learned that bravery is part of compassion and is not limited to superheroes or massive acts of bravado. Instead, compassion appears in the brave act of asking for help. Compassion occurs in offering of help even when you don't know how the story will end. Compassion is moving out of our own comfort zones and sometimes taking a risk to meet someone where their need is. Our children practiced brave compassion by decorating and sending postcards to someone who needed a smile. In most cases, the children didn't even know the recipient of their card personally, but they knew their need for a smile. They also baked some yummy treats, but this time, they shared them with a neighbor instead of enjoying them for themselves. If you've ever been around a kid, that takes some bravery in and of itself. We asked you to be brave and to show compassion by checking on your neighbors. I hope you did. I would love to hear about your experience and how you shared compassion. This week,
we will explore the idea of having compassion for ourselves. It's a part of compassion that we often overlook. Our scripture finds Jesus surrounded by a crowd, once again teaching and challenging the status quo. Some in the crowd were there to listen and learn, but others were there for a much different reason. Have you ever seen the show The Floor is Lava? My kids watch a lot of this. It's a game show where families and friends attempt to traverse a room full of obstacles, surprises, and tricks in an attempt to get to the other side without falling into the lava, never to be seen again. I kind of feel like the Sadducees were forcing Jesus to play this game, but in question and answer form. If he answered one question the wrong way, he would fall into the lava of their legal trap, and they could have him put away forever. They asked him about taxes and the afterlife, setting up a slippery course that was sure to cause his fall. But Jesus expertly answered their questions with truth and a poise that surprised everyone. He challenged their way of thinking, but without giving them any grounds for his arrest. The questions kept coming, but this last one seemed different. A lawyer in the crowd asked Jesus, "Which commandment in the law is the greatest?" There's really no way of knowing if this question was asked in another attempt to trip Jesus over his own words, or in a genuine desire to learn and grow. No matter the intent of the question, the answer can't be argued. Jesus answered, "The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and mind." This was something that they had all heard before. Called the Shema, this was a prayer said in Jewish homes daily. Scripture encouraged the faithful to speak these words often and to teach them to their children. This wasn't a new concept, but rather a reminder of what they already knew, but maybe weren't living out. Then Jesus continued, "The second is to love your neighbor as yourself." When we hear this, we often hear the part about loving our neighbor fairly well. We know what this means and we know how to do it. Certainly this is compassion in action. This is taking care of our neighbors, those who live near us and those who live across the globe. Loving our neighbor often looks like acts of service and gifts of love and time, but really it's so much more than that. Loving our neighbor is loving those who live, vote, think, speak, and act differently than us. When Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, he didn't say, love the neighbor that is like yourself, or love your neighbor in spite of yourself. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps this is a reminder that God loves each of us. Part of loving our neighbor as ourselves is actually loving ourselves. This part of Jesus' greatest commandment is a little harder for many of us to do. Certainly there are those who think very highly of themselves, but many of us have a tendency to be more critical of ourselves than we are of others. We say things to and about ourselves that we would never say about anyone else. In fact, if we heard the same words that we say about ourselves uttered about a friend of ours, we would be highly offended. I don't know about you, but lately it's been even easier to criticize myself. I criticize my inability to get everything on my to-do list accomplished. One day I get irritated with myself for not spending enough time with my children, and the next day I get irritated with myself about not spending enough time working. I've always been the kind of person that's hard on myself, but this pandemic has certainly brought it out even more. I'm pretty good at offering compassion to others, but not so good about offering it to myself. And from what I'm hearing from friends and seeing on social media, I'm really not alone in this dilemma. It seems that many of us are withholding compassion from ourselves. There is just something easier about showing compassion for others than to ourselves. But if you've ever flown on an airplane, you've heard the flight attendant explain the importance of putting your own oxygen mask on before helping your child or seatmate to put theirs on. If you don't take care of yourself, you won't have the capacity to care for others. God's love kind of works the same way. First, we must accept God's love for ourselves so that we can share that love with others. Over and over again throughout Scripture, as early as creation, we're reminded that we are made in God's image. Throughout Scripture, we are told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we are known and loved by God even as we are knit in our mother's womb. God's love, grace, forgiveness, and compassion for each of us is overwhelming and humbling. Just as we are to pull down the oxygen mask and place it on our face first, we are to accept God's love and hold it in our hearts, hold it in our minds, and hold it in our souls. And once we accept that and embody that love, we are able to share it with our neighbors in a way that they can place that love into their hearts. Sometimes showing ourselves compassion feels selfish, but it's not. By doing so, we are fully embracing the gift that God offers to us. But how do we actually do this? We know how to plan mission trips. We know how to work with helping agencies and generally how to take care of other people. We know how to show compassion to our neighbor. But how exactly do we show compassion to ourselves? Psychologist Dr. Wei Ying Zi, in her TED Talk about self-compassion, says that a good place to start is by paying attention to what we are saying to ourselves. Because everything that we say to ourselves, we hear. The more that we hear that negative self-talk, the more we believe it. Dr. Z suggests that we spend a full day writing down every negative self-thought that enters our mind. But at the end of the day, the challenge is to rewrite every one of those into a positive statement as a practice of retraining our thoughts to be more positive. What would happen if we then put those positive statements in a place where we could read them on a daily basis? If we read these positive statements about ourselves, could we begin to believe them as truth? Can we retrain our brains and our hearts to speak words of compassion rather than words of criticism and doubt to ourselves? Can you go a full day without criticizing yourself? Can you do something that you are really good at and brings you joy, and spend 10 minutes simply being proud of what you have done? Can you look at a photo album of friends and family and look into the eyes of those you love, but this time with a concerted effort to see and feel the love that each of them has for you? During our children's message this morning, you heard our camp song for the week, titled, I Have Love to Share. Did you catch the words? I have love to share with the whole wide world, but I start by loving myself. When I take good care of my heart and soul, I have love for everyone else. I love me so I can love you. God loves me so I can love you. I usually get annoyed when songs get stuck in my head, but this one is one that I think I need to get stuck. I need it at the ready so that my mind and my heart will listen. I hope that you'll forgive me if this song gets stuck in your head now too, but perhaps you need to hear it again too. In just a moment, we will come to God's table together, remembering that there is a seat for all of us. No one is excluded from the love, grace, compassion, and invitation of God. So come, sit at the table, invite a neighbor, and know that you are loved. Fill yourself with the love of God so that you might freely share it with others.
As followers of Jesus, we gather together to worship God, and we gather not only to hear and to receive the good news of the gospel, but also to respond, each of us, in our own unique ways. Today, in worship, we celebrate and recognize seven individuals who have answered the call to serve this congregation as deacons. And you have affirmed that calling. So today we give thanks for the ways that God is working in and through the lives of these seven new deacons who have said yes to the opportunity to serve our congregation, to serve each of you as caregivers, as spiritual leaders, and as fellow journeyers on the way. During their years of service, these deacons will care for each of you, beloved members of this holy community at Greystone. They will pray for you in seasons of joy and pain. They will sit with you in times of loss. They will walk alongside you in each and every moment of your journey of faith and your journey of life. That is what a deacon does. And so it's appropriate that today, when we recognize this affirmation of our new deacons, that we also find ourselves gathered together around this table. Because normally, when it's not a season of COVID, we would gather in this space and the deacons would be the ones who carried the plates out into the congregation. They would bring to you the holy food for your sacred journey, the bread and the drink. So today we recognize these seven individuals whose faces are showing up on your screens today. And as we affirm their calling and celebrate their willingness to say yes to God's calling on their life to serve this congregation as deacon, we also commit to pray for them, each and every day as they take on this extra responsibility to care for us and to serve this congregation. It's fitting that today the deacons are being recognized because the literal food and the drink that they would normally carry out into the congregation on plates and in small cups, that represents the gift of the body of Christ that's humbly given for the earliest disciples and for each and every one of us who experiences the pain of hunger and thirst. Because of this prolonged season of physical distancing, it looks a little different today. Your table may or may not look like this table. It may or may not have bread and juice. It may or may not be set and ready. You may have to hit pause and go get your elements. But no matter what, we're reminded each and every time that we gather around this table that there is room for each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter what we've done, no matter how worthy we think we are, there is room for all people at Christ's table because the grace of Christ is big enough for each and every one of us. So come, let us gather around tables in different places, tables of different shapes and sizes, tables equipped with different elements. And let's celebrate this holy meal, the meal of Jesus Christ.
Friends in Christ, God invites us and calls us to hold the needs of our brothers and sisters, of our community, of our family, of our neighbors, of all those that we meet as if they were our very own. So as we come to this table on this day, we pray. We pray for our community. And we pray for our world. Let's pray together. Loving God, we come to a table of bounty and of goodness, of mercy unending and grace that is life-giving. We come to this table as your humble church, and we pray on behalf of the world. We come remembering that there are those who struggle this day. There are those who are unemployed, and the financial burdens that they face seem overwhelming and unending. There are those who are sick in their bodies, struggling to understand where wellness might be found. There are those who are grieving, who are reeling from the shock of loss and pain. There are those who cry out, "How long?" There are leaders searching for solutions that
cannot be found. In a sea of no best answers, they must lead. We pray for those who struggle to learn, to understand, to best, to offer a gift to our community of knowledge. We pray this day for our earth, for the very creation cries out with us this day. Lord, you have placed before us your wonderful world with its blessings and its difficulties. You have called us to be peacemakers and a people who will work for you, offering our lives and our gifts in your service. But we sometimes hold back from trusting in these gifts you have given. We wonder if they will be enough to make a difference. We have become caught in a trap of fear and inadequacy, believing that only the largest gifts have any worth. Forgive us, O God. Free us from our fears of not enough and help us to joyfully place our hopes, our dreams, our lives in your care. As we have lifted up the grief and struggle of this world, seeking your healing mercies and comforting power, help us to feel those same mercies and comfort active in our lives, reminding us that your love has been poured out upon us so that we may serve. May the grace of this table and the fellowship of our communion with you and each other strengthen and encourage us as we move, live, and breathe in this moment, seeking to diligently and faithfully follow in your footsteps. Ah, Holy Jesus, greet us as your very own. And as we gather around this table, send your Spirit. Be thou present. Amen.
On the night that Jesus was arrested, he found himself at a table with his closest friends and followers, and they were sharing a meal, an ordinary meal. And fully aware of what was to come, Jesus still took the bread over the course of that meal. And after giving thanks, he blessed it and broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." In the same way, also, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant given for you." Each time you share of this meal, do so in remembrance of me, Jesus says.
Friends, whenever we gather at this table, we give to each other a sign of peace. We say, "The peace of Christ be with you." And the response from the great congregation is, "And also with you." And so today, at this table, to a community that is scattered and not together, except but by the Spirit of God, I say to you, the peace of Christ be with you, always and forever. Amen.
Thanks for giving. all our friends and family, and the ones we love who live in our memory.
Please go and look for The Living Stone. We have brand new episodes, and I know you don't want to miss them. Also, tonight at 7:30, we'll be continuing our discussion of Dr. Drew Hart's Trouble I've Seen. It's been a great discussion so far, and I know that tonight will not be any different. Please join us. You should have gotten the meeting information in your email from Thursday, but if you need it, have no fear. Just contact Pastor Chrissy. She'll be glad to give you the Zoom ID links. And make note on your calendars. We will have our quarterly business meeting, our quarterly church and conference, Wednesday night, August the 19th at 6 p.m. We need to fill our vacant committee positions. The nominating committee is ready with their report. And so I know that you will want to be a part of the continuing work and life of the church. I hope that this week is a great week for you, and I hope that we will be able to connect, whether it's passing each other as we are out in the community with our face masks on, 6 feet apart, or if it might be through some meetings, some Bible studies, some ways that we have for you to connect here at Greystone. All of that information can be found on our website and through our weekly emails. So stay connected, and I'll see you soon.
You know, our faith encourages us to demonstrate compassion for others by comforting the sick, the poor, and those in trouble. But what about those times when you get down on yourself? Maybe because you feel like you failed at something, you're having a really bad day. Is it okay for you to have compassion for yourself? In Isaiah chapter 54, we hear these words of encouragement. For the mountains may depart, and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And Paul describes God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So I challenge you to practice a little compassion for yourself this week. Here are a few things you can try. Number one, push away those negative thoughts. Try going one full day this week with no negative talking or thinking about yourself. If such a thought enters your mind, turn it into something positive. Write down one positive statement about yourself on a post-it note. In fact, write 5 self-affirming statements of some kind and post these in a place you're going to see every day. Number 2, do something that makes you happy. Take a walk, ride a bike, or drive to a favorite location and watch the sunset. Bake a cake, work in your garden, paint something. Or practice your musical instrument. But do something that God has gifted you uniquely to do and that reminds you of how very special you are to Him. And number 3, focus on someone that you are deeply grateful for. Reflect on how that person inspired or helped you in some way, and how God's love may have worked through them to comfort you when you needed it the most. Helen Keller once said, "Keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow." So show yourself some compassion and kindness this week, even as you show it to others.
Before we go, let us hear the prayer of compassion. May we be filled with compassion. May we be filled up to the top of our hearts when we have the power to make something right. May we show God's love. May we show compassion. May we be found in the center of peace when we have needs that others can meet. May we find God's love. Amen.
Be loved, be kind, be near.